Hello and welcome to the first Impact Features podcast. We're going to be doing an Agony Aunt series where we'll be answering questions that contributors have sent in following on from our article series. My name's Auntie Carol, but you can call me Kaz, and I'm joined by two new aunties today.
Hey, I'm Auntie Barbara, but you can call me Babs.
Hi, I'm Auntie Angela, but you can call me Ange.
Our first question is how to best deal with house stress / estate agents. And advice for not letting them rip you off.
Okay, so in my personal opinion, we had a really bad house last year. So talking from an experience, I can advise that the best thing you can do is to do your research. As for the contract, it's really lengthy and very complicated. So my advice would be to read the contract and read it through loads of times, get a highlight or highlight anything that you think you're unsure of or anything that's confusing, and also send it on to any family members or anyone you may know who's more involved in that kind of legal estate agent side of things. So yeah, just have a look through and just make sure that you ask as many questions as you need to. They'll probably put things in that will confuse you or might throw you off. So I think it's just important to do as much research and reading as you can.
I think what's also important is if you're doing a viewing, actually talk to the people who lived already, because they'll know things and say things that the estate agents won't. The biggest thing is, well, for me, for our house last year was freezing, and that was not mentioned like at all. So ask if there's any big concerns, ask the people who already live there, because they'll be best qualified to answer that.
And I'd say it would be kind of good to get bills included, because life is a lot easier with bills included, I can't lie. And like, literally, if you don't have bills included, then you're literally just going to be freezing in the winter, and that's not the one at all.
And then you'll be bickering about putting the heating on and turning the radiators off and paying for like washing and drying. It's just not worth it.
I agree. Not ideal, really, is it?
I haven't really had any bad experiences, but from what I've heard, if you do, like, it's a really good, there's a good service at Portland that you can go to. Has anyone used that?
We kind of use it, me and my house kind of use it last year. I'm not sure whether it was the accommodation services, but we spoke to someone at uni. Basically, our landlord has his license revoked. So we just, you know, we wasn't unsure about what it was, so we just kind of got a letter through the post, being like, you know, FYI, your landlord's lost his license. So obviously us as a house, we're like, what does this mean? So we spoke to someone at uni and they basically just reassured us, told us what it meant for us. Turns out it wasn't really a problem. It was just a bit peak on him. But yeah, but they offered a lot of support and information and basically told us what to expect. And I also think they had a list, which is also reassuring. They had a list of the landlords for different houses in London. I'm not sure how they get the information, but I guess if you've got any questions about your house, they actually have information on it. So they can kind of see who your landlord is and what estate agent they're under. So if you're a bit unsure about anything, I think they could advise.
It can, especially from first to second year, it can be so overwhelming moving into like a proper house, especially if you rent halls before. And I think I remember someone saying that they can help you look over your contract as well.
Yeah,
like the services probably in Portland, which is really cool, because contracts can also be very overwhelming and a lot of information to take in. So yeah, I'd recommend that.
Next question.
So the next question is, it says straight away in caps lock, so I'm going to shout it. It says, help, I'm a third year and panicking about what to do with my life. ... I have no idea where my philosophy degree can take me. I have no real career path in mind. Are there any other options apart from being a drug lord?
So I can actually relate to this on a deep level, because I'm that's the one. I do religion, philosophy and ethics, which is joint honours philosophy and theology. And so for theology, everyone tells me, you know, I have a vocation, I can become a nun when I graduate. That's all good. But then for philosophy, yeah, it's a struggle. Generally because philosophy students tend to be deep thinkers anyway, so we're going to be here having existential crisis on a daily. But that's good. It's good to have like analytical skills, and that's a transferable skill too, that you can take with you to any kind of job that you want to go into. I'd recommend if you're a first or second year to do this module in third year called Communicating Philosophy, which is run by Andy Fisher, who's the head of the department. And he basically sets you weekly assignments, which can seem really overwhelming, but they're directly transferable to any job that you want to go into. So I work for, or I'm part of Impact, which is really cool, and I've been considering going into journalism. And there's one, I think, one assignment that helps you transfer philosophy skills directly to if you were to write like a journal article or a blog, which is really cool. And then you can do teaching plans and you can make posters. And it's, yeah, it seems stressful, but it's really cool because you'll get really varied marks, so you'll see exactly what those skills that you've learned from philosophy can be good for, like, when you go into the working world. Join Impact generally, because it's a great skill to have, you know? And if you're a philosopher, then you'll be good at writing anyway. And join Futures, because specifically, like, there's loads of experience that you can get from being a philosopher, and, like, we like really deep-rooted issues, and you'll be able to cover that as a philosophy student. Philosophy is just a great degree to have. Apparently they scout you out for MI5 as well, if you're really good.
That's good.
If you get like a first class or something.
Have you been scouted yet?
No, unfortunately not. Still waiting on it though.
I think it sounds so cliche, but it's also like important to remember that like you don't have to do something directly related to your degree after uni.
Oh, of course not.
Like, it's been name dropped with James Feasey, the new president, has just proved it. He's the new president of the SU. And that, I wouldn't associate a philosophy degree with presidency, so it's like it's not as limiting as you can think. Like, it's not that you have a list of options to do with this degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think just try not to panic. Like, I think there's a lot of pressure that, you know, from parents and society in general, you kind of go to uni, you get a degree, and then that sets you up for life, and you leave uni and you should have a job straight away. But the chances of that actually happening is very slim, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I think, like, on top of this as well, like, no one really knows what they want to do, because none of us, well, barely any of us, have actually had, like, experience in a number of sectors. So we can even have an idea of what we want to do. For some people, you know, they may not be panicking and be like, well, I've got a job already and I'm happy and I know what I want to do. But they could still start that job and realise that they're not happy because they've never had that experience. So I think, like, it's normal to just leave uni and kind of experiment with different sectors and jobs and then see what works out for you, so don't panic.
I reckon you can be so stressed as just anyone who's doing like an arts-based or humanities degree, mm-hmm. especially when you see all of these econ students around you, you know, who have secured like a work placements for next year or internships. But the good thing about humanities degrees is that it really leaves you open to anything that you want to go into,
yeah.
like completely. So don't get stressed by that, and don't try your very best not to compare yourself to the people around you, because, you know, you might end up down the line, like in 10 years' time, you might end up achieving your dream, or you might even end up achieving it tomorrow. Just a bit of motivation there. So yeah, don't get stressed.
The third question is, starts by saying, I'm feeling very overwhelmed with juggling everything at the moment. What advice do you have to deal with balancing different priorities? I love highlighting and stuff. Like, I'm the most like stationary slut. Like, I have a journal. I have three different colours. I have like unique work, social stuff, and then extracurricular stuff. So then each thing is highlighted, so I know what I'm doing each day. I have a huge whiteboard in my room, which is just like organised into a to-do list. And then I can like keep updating that. But that's just how I do it. I think if I didn't have that, then I have everything buzzing around in my head, and then I get worked up, and then I get overwhelmed. But if I've just written everything down, at least then it's out of my head for the time being, and I know that like it's just a step by step thing after that. So it's less, just breaks it down into sections, and then take every little bit as it comes.
Yeah, I do something similar. I have like a weekly planner, and then I have a different colour pen for different things. So like one for uni work, one for Impact, because, you know, Impact's life. one for socials, one for friends and family, things like that. And then every week I write down a list of everything. So I have like a calendar on one side and then to-do list. So I put everything in colour-coded order, because that's my favourite thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, as Carol just said, basically organising everything into sections. And then you can plan your time and fit everything else in with what you already know is like concrete going on during the week. And I'd also say just kind of work out what's most important for you. So if you have a social event that everyone's going to but you're not interested in, it's not a bad thing to say no. Like, if it's going to overwhelm you even more, put more pressure on you, then it's a good thing sometimes to take a bit of a bit of stress and pressure off of yourself if it means that it's going to do you a good thing. So
I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but you know when you cross off something off your list, yeah. It is the biggest sense of achievement ever. And so colour coding as well, like I use a highlighter to cross off the things that I have got, I've done, and then things that I didn't get to do, I use like a different highlighter, but hopefully those ones are like less on my list, and like I use a purple highlighter for the things that I have done, so hopefully my page looks all purple. But then also, if you, it is getting really extreme and you do feel very, very overwhelmed and you need a bit of extra help and you feel like you can't do it yourself, I'd say go and see a personal tutor. And even if you're not that close to a personal tutor, just a lecturer that you really get on with, because they can help prioritise for you. And it just sometimes it just takes having a conversation with a close friend as well to talk about the things that you really enjoy and the things, like it might not even be your uni degree that you really want to prioritise at the moment. You might really want to prioritise your extracurriculars, which is probably not the advice I should be giving you. But like you can prioritise the things that you really enjoy. And like, for example, if you have an impact article that you want to get in and the deadline is in the next couple of days, try and get that done. But then if you have a deadline for coursework in a couple of weeks, then you can like consistently do a bit of work every single day rather than just leaving it all to the end, which obviously I've never done before. Yeah, so self-care is important as well, but I feel like that kind of leads on to the next question and just enjoying yourself too.
Yeah. Before we get onto that, I was just thinking, going off what you said about going to a personal tutor, if you're a member of like any society, even if you're not, because each course has a course-based society, so you don't have to be part of it. There's a member of every committee who is a welfare officer, so it's just another person you can go to who's less intimidating because they're not like a big adult academic, they're a peer, and while they're not like a therapist, they're not going to help you, they can suggest solutions like more on a peer-to-peer level and like signpost you where to go, and just like a much more relaxed and formal way. It's like the first stage, I think. And I think, I don't know what the specifics are, I don't know like how many are welfare trained or something, but I know that pretty much every course-based or sports-based has.
And societies too, I think.
Yeah. I think it's one or two get welfare training.
Yeah, so it's definitely someone that your age, similar, which should be, for me, would be more comfortable than going to like a big academic who I've only seen a couple of times at uni.
But then also they'll have links to the SU as well, so they'll know certain events that are running
and
people that you can contact if you're really struggling with it, like outside uni too.
That takes us to our last question, which is someone who's in their final year at uni and they want to enjoy being a student for the last time, but also want to get a first class honours. How do I balance this? Do you have any advice on how to make sure you go to all your lectures? I keep on missing them and I don't know what to do. I know I've paid all this money to go to uni, but I'd rather lay in bed. Help me.
Yeah, I think we've all experienced that at some point. I can't lie, especially for a 9 a.m. I'll just be in bed at like 8:30, just deeply considering whether my uni degree is worth it or not. But you know, there are some people who work really well at home, and like catching up on lectures is definitely an option. And if that is the case for you, then you shouldn't feel guilty about it. Because then you're wasting more of your time just thinking about, oh, I should be in this lecture, than actually catching up on it.
It depends, like, a lot of the lectures, do you really need to be in the actual hall? Like, if they're recorded, some of them I literally just read off the PowerPoint slide, so I don't think, like, I'm not saying don't go, I'm not saying don't beat yourself up about it if you don't go, it's not the end of the world. Have you ever been at that stage where they were like, because I have so few contact hours, that if you miss one, you start, like, how much of this is it worth? Like, how much? There was someone in first year I knew who like had worked out what each of their contact hours were worth, as in like
the cost.
$9,000 a year, and then like split up into the week and then split up into the hours. So like, I can't miss this out because that's just like throwing so much money down the drain. But it's like you're still getting the content, you just don't have to be sat there.
Also, $9,000 a year is unrealistic anyway, so I don't think the amount that we have at uni is worth that. So
you can see it.
Either way. I still think we're wasting money, so, you know, why not waste a little bit more?
That's like another podcast. But also, like, first class honours. Like, I know this isn't endorsed by the SU or whatever, so I can say it, but like, I think it's an actual first class honours is a bit overrated. Depends what you want to go into. Like, uni is not just a degree now. Like, so many people have a degree, so, like, if you're stressing about getting a first class honours, so many other people are going to have that. So you might as well have
the experiences as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, organise your time to get in stuff that's a bit different, because it's going to, it's not going to stand out as much even if you do get a first class. It's not going to make that much difference from a 2-1 or 2-2 or whatever.
Yeah. I was also going to say that I'm not sure where I read it or the exact stats, but I read somewhere that like a 2-1 is still, like, you're still a minority. Like, a 2-1 is still, like, being very, very successful. And I think because we're at Nottingham and it's a really good uni, and everyone's kind of on that level, you assume that you should also be on that level or aiming for a first to get above. But if you actually look at the stats across, like, all of the unis across the country, like, a 2-1 is still really, really good. Like, I think the most common, the common class is, like, a 2-2. I think when you're put in such a high place with everyone else, you're kind of expected to mash or have these expectations, but it's really not the end of the world. And I think you just need to set your own expectations for yourself with everything else you've got going on and have like a personal achievement rather than worrying about other people.
Yeah,
definitely. And in like the uni bubble here, everyone is such a high achiever, so you can't really compare or like grade like the first class. Like, is a first class isn't like the only mark of success after uni. So,
and also try and think about it in terms of retrospect. So like, if you're looking back at your time at uni, you don't want to remember that you were just in the library 24/7.
Yeah.
So being part of extracurricular activities or going out with your friends, those are the memories that you're really going to like keep with you for the rest of your life.
It's more important as well, I think, because there's certain skills that you do from like sport or societies or even just putting yourself out and being more of a social person. Like, there's a lot of skills in that that may actually increase your chances of getting like a better job or, you know, competing against other people than those people who've just gone to uni to get a degree and they have no social skills or no other experience in any other areas. So I don't think it's any less important.
Definitely. Like, after uni, you're not going to be remembered for what, or by the, your peers or like the academics, you're not going to be remembered for what grade you got. You're going to remember for like how friendly you were, like how personable and like the impression that you made, not the actual number.
Exactly. Like, a first class honours is really impressive. Like, don't get us wrong. But then also experiences, like we were saying, are very, very important too. And if you were struggling and all you do remember is just like staying up in the library constantly, then you're not going to, you're going to look back at your time at uni and think, oh, why didn't I have the same experiences as my friend?
So that wraps up our first Agony Aunt Futures podcast. Thank you for everyone who sent in a question. Hope we answered them to your satisfaction, expectation, all the nouns. Stay tuned for our next one, which will be soon, and we'll answer more questions. The link is everywhere to send more in, so you have no excuses.